Thanks for downloading the Overdrive podcast. If you're on Instagram, make sure you follow us at TSN1050. If you're not, sign up and follow us, even if it's the only account that you follow. Because if you're a big fan of the show, you've got to know what's going on behind the scenes. On Instagram, at TSN1050. All right, so we started yesterday's 6 p.m. hour saying we were going to give a shout-out to Natasha for her birthday. But we couldn't do it yesterday because it wasn't her birthday. So,
right.
Today it is. So shout out to Natasha Stanishevsky. Happy birthday.
We love you, Natasha. You're one of our favorite people on Earth. Yes.
I think she's back in Edmonton for the week.
She is.
Yeah. Back in God's country.
Yeah, man. Well, they've got a new coaching staff out there in Edmonton with the Oilers. They made that official today.
I grew up with one of the guys, Manny Viveros, Emmanuel Viveros.
Really?
Yeah. A block away from my house.
No way.
Yeah. He was a very high draft pick. He was a small defenseman, played in Prince Albert. And then he ended up mostly, I think he played in overseas for his whole like career. Never played pro very much. I think he was a high draft pick to Minnesota North Stars. But he's a very good coach, and he's coaching Swift Current right now. Memorial Cup.
And now he's moving up.
He's
going to be in the NHL.
Trent Yanni. I like the hirings as far as guys who are progressive. Like, Yanni's good on special teams, which Edmonton really struggled last year. Gullitson is better suited as a...
That's weird, though, isn't it? Like, he was just the head coach of Calgary.
Yeah.
Like, that's like Claude Julien being fired, and then Babcock hires him.
Yeah.
It's like, you're the head coach of the biggest rival.
Yeah.
Like, which the biggest rival right down the road, and you get fired, and now you're on our staff.
I personally think Gullitson is more suited as an assistant coach. He was really good in Vancouver. Like, think of it. This guy is now coached in Vancouver, Calgary, and Edmonton. And he was in Dallas, obviously, as a head coach. Like, I think he's better suited as an assistant coach. But
I think Todd McClellan, like, this never works. It just never works.
Yeah, there's a history there.
Anything change on the roster for you? No. It's coaches.
Well,
need a coach that bad in the NHL, I'm sorry. Like, I know I joke around about listening or paying attention to coaches, but if you're not self-motivated and know what the hell to do at that level, you got serious issues.
Some of these kids are 19.
I don't care how old they are.
They don't know. You tell me kids that know systems and stuff nowadays
but
at 19?
But how dumb are you, Jamie? It's so simple. It's like you're either playing an aggressive forechecking style, you're sitting back, and if you can't, you should be able to come back to the bench and the coach could say, switch it to this, and you should, if you don't, and for the guy that says, what are you talking about? You're a dummy.
I know, but
a dummy.
How long did it take Nazem Kadri to learn how to be a good two-way centerman? 5 years?
Well, but that's, I don't even know if that's coaching as much as it's experience.
Yeah,
you know, I'm not saying coaching doesn't factor in. For sure it does. And going over the tape, but you got to live it to get there.
Oh, for sure. You got to go through the process.
Like, outside of the superstar kids that show up and immediately they're great, a lot of guys, it's like, talk to me in 5 years if I'm lucky enough to still be in the league, and I'll guarantee I'm going to be a better player.
Oh,
I'm going to be more confident. I'm going to understand the way the game plays. And
right.
What I'm saying is, you know, Carlisle, Ron Wilson, happened to Dwayne Casey. It's happened a lot throughout sports where it's the old, you know, we're going to get rid of your assistant coach. You can stick around, but all the assistant coaches are gone, and we're going to bring in our own guys. And generally speaking,
short leash,
that head coach is in big trouble.
For sure.
They're on notice, big trouble. There's no doubt.
Yeah, which,
absolutely.
Again, it's not shocking. Like, if Edmonton is awful again next year, McClellan's out, and you have to believe Chiarelli's out.
Dude, you talk about a
you
short
have to
leash.
Believe.
Isn't it a 10-game leash? If they stink the joint out for 10 games to start the season?
I don't know. 10 games would be a little lean. I think 20.
I think Denny Savard might have set a record for, it was like 3 games.
I think it's your boy Lavi. Remember Laviolette? I think he got fired 3 games into the season
in
Philly.
Yeah, they played in Carolina, lost, gone.
3 games.
Which they probably should have made that move.
They
should have made that move.
What that meant is we wanted to fire you in the summer. We didn't have the stones to do it, and we were waiting for you to fail.
That's so gutless. Just do it.
Well, 3 games, that's a little...
Imagine getting fired 3 games into the season.
John Tortorella, was it last year? 3 games in, was 0-3. We all had him fired, and then Columbus ended up dominating.
I know.
Coach of the year.
He didn't get fired.
Right.
I mean, he turned it around. He won Coach of the Year.
That's what we were just saying. Yeah,
no, I understand that. But, like,
coming off that brutal World Cup, and then they sucked the first few games, we're like, he's fired.
Mm-hmm.
Coach of the Year.
Yeah. Yeah, that's why I think 10 is a little lean. I'd say.
Well, I'm not saying I wouldn't give him more time.
I mean,
if you're going to commit to a guy, but owners don't always make sense.
Well, a team with Connor McDavid on it, I would say it would be a 10-game stretch where it's like, what do you got?
Well, I'd give him a little bit longer. November.
I mean, let's be honest. If they're 0-10, probably fired.
Exactly. It's how,
you know, like, if it's 5-5.
It's how it all unfolds. We all had Hackstall fired this year when Philly went winless in 10.
Well, the fans were booing him.
Yeah, and Hexy like went down to the room. Like it is. It's a feel. It's a different feel in Edmonton because how poorly they played last year. And now you've changed the staff except for Todd. I think he's on a short leash. But my thing would be 20.
I totally agree with you. I mean, perfect world, but this is very rarely a perfect world.
Well, you say if they go 0-10,
go 0-10 and their penalty kill is at 50%.
Yeah.
Todd McLellan's in big trouble. The Hockey Insider brought to you by Finance It. Here's Bob McKenzie. How you doing, Bob?
Excellent, boys. How you doing?
We're doing well. We were just talking about the coaching situation in the carousel out in Edmonton where Todd McLellan gets a new staff around him, and conventional wisdom would suggest you're in trouble. You know, if you're the head coach, you've been placed on notice here.
The first question I have, Brian, is would Todd have any input on this, or were they just handed to him?
No, this is clear input because all these guys have a connection with him. Trent Yanni, Glenn Gullitson, Manny Viveros, all these guys. There's Saskatchewan roots running deep on all of these ones, and Todd would be comfortable with all these guys. And I think you're right, Owen. In fact, I was on doing a radio hit this morning, and we were talking about this very thing. And I said, you know, if management says, here's your power play coach, here's your PK coach, here's your new guy, and you don't have any say in the matter, well, then, you know, have a bag packed and be ready to go. But if you're picking your entire group, then management still has enough faith in you to exercise the judgment to pick the guys that you want to surround you with.
Well, yeah. And we were talking about that leash. I mean, obviously, if they start 0-10 and their penalty kill is historically awful, he's probably in trouble. But is it going to be based on what they do in the offseason in Edmonton? Or, you know, if they come back with the same team or relatively speaking the same team, how can we get a read on what the expectation should be? Because they were awful last year.
The expectation should be that they should win more than they should lose. And that's the bottom line. Now, what happens between now and next season? There's lots of time left here. We've got to go through the draft process and see what that brings in terms of player movement, free agent signings, whatever the case may be. It's up to Peter Chiarelli to do his thing in the summer. I mean, Todd McLellan can put his feet up for the rest of the summer and go to the lake. I mean, he doesn't have anything else to do outside of all the preparation stuff that's normal for a coach. But in the grand scheme of things, there's nothing he can affect change on between now and the beginning of next season. So it's up to Peter Chiarelli to do his thing, and obviously the pressure's on Pete, the pressure's on Todd, and between the two of them, they got to put a product on the ice and get some results. And simple as that. And then if they don't, well, then everybody's under the gun there from top to bottom.
We have Bob McKenzie, our Hockey Insider. One of our favorites, Phil Kessel, in the news in terms of the rumor mill. I mean, I think everybody's heard Sullivan, the head coach in Pittsburgh, and Phil, not necessarily always on the same page. But what's your read on this situation in terms of Phil and his security in Pittsburgh?
Well, the first thing I should say is I haven't done any due diligence on that in terms of researching. I saw the story. I glanced at it. Getting ready for the Stanley Cup final, I haven't had a chance to drill down on the reality of Phil being traded or not being traded or what the plan is for Jimmy Rutherford. But as I said in another radio hit earlier today, I mean, I know Jimmy Rutherford well enough to know that a second-round exit after back-to-back Cup Finals and with Crosby and Malkin as your two core guys up front, he's going to do everything, anything, you name it, to continue to try and win Cups here in the next year or two or three because he knows he's on the clock. He knew he was on the clock when he was brought in. In I guess, baseball vernacular, they brought Jimmy Rutherford in to be the closer, and he did his job. I mean, he got them two Stanley Cups. He won't think that's enough. Ownership won't think that's enough. And as long as they've got Crosby and Malkin, they're going to say we should be contending and winning Cups. And if we didn't do it this year, there's a reason we didn't do it this year, and what gives us the best chance to do it next year. So I don't know whether they have any intention to trade Phil. But I do know that if they thought that trading Phil would give them a better chance to win and address some of the needs that they obviously came up short. They never got the traction this season that they were hoping for, and I think some of it they thought was the hangover effect, that they were just tired or worn out or what have you. But at the end of the day, they didn't get the results they wanted, and Jimmy will have to figure out whether Phil's part of the problem or part of the solution. And I still think it could go either way, depending on, obviously, what would be available to them if Phil was deemed to be part of the problem and was moved. And I don't know that he is, and something to for me to track down over the next week or so here.
Well, what I like the most about this story, and it's some radio guy in Pittsburgh, so who knows, but he said, I guess he spoke with Phil, or sources indicate that Phil would be fine with the decision. Like, I just feel like you could call Phil and be like, hey, I'm hearing a report you might be dealt, and he'd be like,
yeah, whatever.
Stop bothering me, leave me alone. Like, Phil really wouldn't care, would he, Bob?
No, and again, I don't know. You know, there were a lot of people that the perception was that Rick Tocchet was the Phil Kessel whisperer, if you will. That Tocchet was the guy that was able to make Phil see reason in situations where he might otherwise not, and that maybe Sullivan and Phil butted heads, and just one of those relationships that's difficult. I don't know that to be the case, but that was certainly the conventional wisdom or perception. A widely held perception that was out there last year, and with no Tocchet there this year, were things different, and might it be enough that they would look at making a move? Again, I don't have any answers for you on that, but I think they're open to any and all ideas that Jimmy Rutherford would consider anything that would make his team better. And you know, who knows? Maybe he's thinking deep down, you know what? We'll get Phil back on track here. We'll get back on track. And he's as important to us in the grand scheme of things as Malkin and Crosby.
If Rick Tocchet's the Phil whisperer, Bobby, you're the travel whisperer. Are you happy with the outcome of the finals? Because I know you check a lot of flights in different scenarios before the finals. Are you happy with what you got?
We're very pleased. with apologies to the folks in Winnipeg and Tampa, the panel is all in on Vegas, as you might expect. And I think just from a travel point of view, and, you know, D.C. is a lovely city at this time of year, and there's lots to see and do. We'll be going to a lot of museums, and, you know, we'll spend a lot of time in the Smithsonian during this final, and it's all good. And we've got good hotels and good flights, and, you know, you got to do your preparation, your research, your work, and We're a real good team at TSN, and I think it's all dovetailed together nicely in terms of venues, hotels, flights. It's all good. All
you're gonna go into Vegas a couple days early to get the lay of the land, just to make sure that you're mentally prepared.
Figure out where you're gonna do your hits.
Yeah,
actually, not overly. Media day is on Sunday. I guess I could have got up early Sunday morning, flown to Vegas with the time difference.
3 hours.
Could easily make it in for media day, but I'm going to go in tomorrow night, Saturday night.
Of course you will.
The 8:30 flight, but yeah, but I'm just going to get in and go to bed. So.
Yeah, ease your way into it, Bob.
Yeah, exactly.
A long series. I'm an old man. I'm 61 years old, for crying out loud.
Wow. Vegas, the amount of fist pumps from media members when Vegas cashed their ticket to the Cup final.
Okay, so let me ask Bob then. They had Wayne Newton being interviewed the other day. Like, who would be the guy that you get a little bit excited about in Vegas to cross paths with? Is it Wayne Newton? Is it Copperfield? Is it?
I don't know. I'm not a real Vegas sort of guy.
Celine Dion.
Wayne Newton. How much work has he had done?
Oh, dude,
oh my goodness.
He tried to smile. His face almost broke.
Yeah.
Oh my goodness.
You know, He's a wax figure.
I can remember when, like, he was just, you know, a young guy and doing the Donkashane thing, but that's insane.
Yeah,
he does not. Pick
I don't
up
know.
Anymore.
Let's see, Vegas. I'm not a big Copperfield guy, not a big Cirque du Soleil guy. I don't know. I don't know who's necessarily identified with Vegas. And quite frankly, Vegas is a cool town, but I mean, a lot of it is like, it's really kind of clubby and stuff, and I'm way past the clubby I'm not going in some place with like strobe lights and pounding music anymore, and I'm much more likely to post up at the sports bar area in a casino and have a couple of cocktails and watch a few games. But the other thing about Vegas is it's a cool pool scene. You can kind of go out during the day and just sit around the pool, and they with 100 and some odd degree temperatures, they mist you nicely with the mist spray, and then the you know, have a cool beverage or whatever. That I could see myself doing that.
Yeah, they'll take care of you down there. Whatever you need, Vegas is good that way. All right, Bob, well, enjoy it, man. I guess we'll catch up early next week when you're in Vegas.
All right, boys, have a good one.
Here's Bob McKenzie, our hockey insider, brought to you by Finance. It add a payment plan to your tool belt and break down large price tags into easy, affordable payments with Finance It. Vegas, Washington, D.C.
I could see Bob at Rehab Beach Club. Just with pool party.
Calvin Harris, Tiesto.
We had a table one night or one day there, and there was this DJ. His name was Zed, Z-E-D-D. Mm. And we were right next to him. It was pretty cool. I didn't realize how big he was.
Yeah. We had the same thing. We were at Wet Republic, and that's Tiesto's club.
Yeah.
And we were literally right beside him. Like, he was there, and we were over here. But they treat him like such a god and like such a hero. Like, 20 minutes before he came out, security came over to us and like, you got to clear out. You got to get out of the way. And we're like, this is our booth.
Yeah, we paid for
a guy to play on his computer?
Yeah, for a guy to press play and start dancing.
These like, DJs, I know.
Tiesto gets paid $30 million a year, allegedly.
Yeah.
$30 million a year.
For the pool gig?
For the pool gig, and he's at the club.
I was at a house party once, and that Steve Aoki came in and started throwing cakes around and stuff. He was pretty neat to chat to and stuff, but like, I didn't know how big
those guys are. Huge.
They were, but these guys make cash.
Yeah, everyone makes money in Vegas. Brian Scalabrine coming up. TSN's Stat Twitter account just sent out a tweet that shocked me. Shocking me.
We'll get to that next.
All right, I have some trivia for you guys. The Celtics, as we know, can win tonight, beat Cleveland, and go to the NBA Finals.
Yes.
If they do so, it will be the 22nd time they've been to the NBA Finals as a franchise. 22nd time, which would pass another Big Four team.
Lakers.
Big Four team for the fifth most championship final appearances by a franchise. Who do you think they pass tonight if they do that?
Chicago Bulls.
No, not the Bulls.
You're talking just NBA?
No, Big Four. So NFL, NHL, MLB, NBA.
Montreal Canadiens.
Nope.
Toronto Maple Leafs.
The Toronto Maple Leafs.
Yeah, well, Maple Leafs have been around for 100 years.
I understand that, but I can't, like, the Leafs are fifth all-time in championship final appearances. That shocked me.
It shocks you because you've never had a sniff of it.
But there was there
been
was
51 years since they've been there.
But there were six teams.
Well, I understand then, that. Like, but back when there were six teams, they went to the finals all the time, clearly.
Yes.
But what I'm saying is, like, when you think of the Celtics, you think of, you know, the Bill Russell Celtics that were there all the time. He won 10 or 11 titles. Larry Bird's got, what, three and was in the NBA Finals five or six times.
Yeah.
The big three with Boston, they were in the NBA Finals another time, I believe. Like, I just assumed the Celtics were way past the Leafs. The Leafs haven't been in a cup final in 51 years, and they're tied with the Boston Celtics.
Yeah.
For final appearances.
I just say, the early on in the NHL, they were probably there every year almost. Hasn't been the case in a while.
No, it's been 51 years. I just thought that was pretty interesting trivia.
It is.
Trivia Friday.
It's a good. Now, is that true or is it fake news?
Well, according to TSN
and
their Twitter account, I hope it's not fake news.
Exactly. He's in big trouble.
Boston, Cleveland tonight. He is a former Celtic, former NBA player, current Celtics analyst for NBC Sports in Boston. He's been on the show before and he's back now. Here's Brian Scalabrine. How you doing, Brian?
I'm doing well. I'm here with two hockey players, so I'll try to keep it simple for you guys.
Well, we're simple and stupid, man, so it doesn't have to be a whole lot.
Well, I just learned offside the other day, so I'm just as stupid in the other sport as well.
You'll figure it out. It's all good. This will be a learning experience for everybody.
Good.
Have you heard this nonsense about Kyrie probably wishes his team is not winning like this because he's not involved in that? I heard it and we discussed it, and I think it's nonsense, isn't it?
You know, he's taking a great approach this year. Now, I haven't, since he got hurt, we haven't had much interaction, but he's really like adapted to the leadership role. You know, I think as much as the LeBron Kyrie breakup, however that went down in the summertime, or why they traded him or whatever, right? Like, he came in, and I'm sure he learned a lot from LeBron as far as how to be a leader, maybe even also how not to be a leader. But I can't imagine, after everything that he has said and all the way he has taken guys under his wing, how he can do a 180 just because he's banged up. But, no, I think I'll tell you this. If we never got Kyrie, we would not be in this position right now. No way. I think he really helped the rest of the guys sort of realize what they're capable of.
Part of the narrative the past couple of days has revolved around LeBron and potential fatigue finally kicking in or catching up to him. That just sounds like an excuse. It sounds like a way to explain how Boston's going to win or why LeBron for the first time in 8 years won't be in the NBA Finals. I mean, how are people in Boston reacting to the idea that, you know, the reason the Cavs would lose is because LeBron got tired, not because the Celtics figured them out?
Yeah, I think that's like disrespectful to LeBron, who claims he spends $2 million a year on his body, and all the unbelievable articles written about him saying, like, how is he doing this at this age? I played 82 this year. So if you do all that, you can't, when it doesn't work out for you, use the tired excuse. Now, like, here's the thing that's a little bit funny about all this. He's really not the one bringing it up. It's other people bringing it up, and he's not shutting it down either. Like, I don't know. Like, it's like a, I don't know. Like, your guys' sport, has that ever been an excuse? We never have used that except for LeBron James. And he's a physical specimen, and he's an all-time great and all that, but it's the first time that the whole tired thing has ever come into play, and he's like the only guy that uses that as an excuse. Then you either are an all-time great and the specimen, and you spend all the money on your body to get to this level, or not, and just don't use it as an excuse when it's not working out for you. So I don't know if a lot of people are buying that. I think a lot of people in the media, as far as I think ESPN in general, people there like to talk about how great LeBron is, and I don't know if it's like part of their contract when they sign it. But that's sort of like the excuse that they build, and you know, I don't think the rest of the media is holding him accountable to that at all.
We've discussed Brad Stevens at length on this show because, I guess, even in our sport, there's guys who love the coach, but we've never seen the outpouring of love from his players and from everyone around it. I mean, is he that great of a coach and that great of a player's coach that the players have to gush about him?
You know, that's a good question. You know, it's a little uncomfortable, I think, for him when it's all Brad Stevens. Like, for instance, here's the Celtics are now one game away from the NBA Finals, and they don't have a guy on first, second, or third team all NBA. And even if, like, Kyrie played the whole season, you know, he's not even playing right now. So you're basically one game away from the finals with a bunch of people that the media really don't respect because they don't vote them. And we have the best defensive team in the NBA, yet Al Horford's on second team all defense. So if these guys are not all NBA team and not, like, great defensively, then what are they? And I think also, like, Danny Ainge is drafting these guys and being, like, one step ahead. Like, the NBA is shifting, where it's all about wings and defensive wings and length and athleticism and the ability to switch. And Brad always wanted to play that way. So I think the league is like kind of adapting to the way that Brad wants to play. And Brad is just like one step ahead of it. But he does do a phenomenal job of putting these guys in positions to be successful. And I know, like, you could say that about a lot of coaches, but every NBA player has strengths and weaknesses. And he knows how to emphasize the strengths and hide the weaknesses.
With former Celtic and current Celtics analyst for NBC Sports down in Boston, Brian Scalabrine, here on Overdrive. Last night, Houston gets past Golden State. They're up 3-2 in the series, but they also took a big hit. Chris Paul is out for Game 6. Were you surprised that they didn't hold off on that announcement? And what does it say about the likelihood of him returning for a Game 7 if he's already ruled out for game six, like a day or two before the game.
Yeah, I'm not sure. Obviously, it didn't look good, right? I mean, here's what I always look at with an athlete, right? There's an athlete, it's either one of two things. If you pop your hamstring, you ain't coming back, right? Or now it could be a cramp, and then therefore you have an opportunity to come back. But for the way I looked at his face, it was like he was like afraid and scared that he had this unbelievable opportunity that he's not going to get take advantage of. And I think I can't believe the Rockets are in this series, to be honest with you, the way that they've like this talent discrepancy between the two teams. But they have pretty much willed the last two games with their like hard-nosed defensive mindset. And go figure, right? Mike D'Antoni is known as like this up-tempo offense, and you can't win this style without playing any defense. He just won two games against arguably, you know, one of the better teams in the history of the NBA, playing tough, hard-nosed basketball. And but Chris Paul had a lot to do with that. Like, I don't know if James Harden has the ability to do it for 48. I know he can do it in spurts, but he's really been struggling. So it does. If Paul comes back for seven, it should be a great game. But I don't know, man. If he's ruled out now and they're just not even going to risk it, it seems like they're kind of punting on six and sort of gearing up for seven. It'll be really interesting to see how six unfolds.
Yeah, it does feel that way, too. And, you know, what you just said about Harden, I think, is spot on. I mean, he's 0 for 11 from three last night. He was throwing up brick after brick after brick. And he's got a playoff history of coming up short. And this is a guy who's going to be the MVP. Last year, I believe he was second in MVP voting. This is a great opportunity for him. Like, without Chris Paul, the idea of using it as an excuse to lose just doesn't add up to me. I mean, LeBron would never get this treatment. LeBron wouldn't get the treatment of, hey, you know, who cares about a game just because the second best player isn't there? Why don't we hold James Harden to the same standard?
Yeah, I don't know. And, LeBron, his greatness to me is about his ability to manage a game. I don't think, like James Harden is a good player. He's, like, fantastic scorer, could shoot off the bounce. Maybe one of the better ISO players in NBA history. I mean, we've never seen a guy go ISO and make step-back threes like that. I mean, Steph Curry did it to a certain extent, but nothing like James Harden. But you're right. Like, why is he not saying, like, I'm one of the best players in the world. I could beat the Warriors by myself, but we're not getting that sense at all from him. And in the playoffs, I wonder if being one-dimensional, like just being, I'm going to go out there and get 30 points, and that's what I do, and that's who I am, and I score. Maybe not having the ability to control a game or pace, which he kind of relies on Chris Paul for, maybe that just limits how great he can really be. And then maybe that's the reason why. And Kevin Durant's like in the same boat right here. Like, Kevin Durant disappeared in the fourth quarter, mm-hmm. and we give him the excuse. But we hold LeBron to a standard that's higher than anybody else. But ultimately, all these guys, like James Harden, Kevin Durant, everybody else that's not LeBron, are all trying to get to that level. But LeBron is obviously just a different level because I think it's his mind, his brilliance as a player. Maybe it doesn't matter nowadays if you don't have to have that sort of mindset, the mindset that, hey, I can make people around me better. I can go in with a certain strategy and try to execute a game plan. To me, James Harden's going to go out there. He's going to put up a fight for the first half, and the Warriors are going to pull away. And he'll probably just, like, tap out and get ready for seven.
Yep, I'm with you. Great stuff, Brian. Always appreciate it, man.
You got it, guys. See ya.
Brian Scalabrine. Does feel that way.
Yeah.
It's almost like the Houston's like, forget it. Like,
it's mailing in.
It feels that way. Like, how do you announce that Chris Paul is out today? Like, this morning, he's out. It's like, nuts. Unless he's legitimately...
They didn't put him on the plane. Like, nothing. This guy is...
Just, he's not playing game six.
Yeah, like, why would you want to feed the minds of your opposition saying... I don't know. It's just goofy to report that.
Mm-hmm.
Like, that's reported right before game time.
You know what it is.
Right, exactly.
He can't go tonight.
That's a Patrice Bergeron, wow, I can't believe he's not
that's
out for
exactly
warm-up.
Right.
Like,
maybe
why would you
maybe
do that?
They're lying. I don't know. Would you lie about that? Can you lie about that?
I guess you could. I don't know what the NBA rules are. It's not like the NFL. The NFL, you can't. You'll get fined.
You can't lie in the NFL.
No.
The NHL, I mean, there's gamesmanship.
But that's where gambling is going to change that. If they get behind sports gambling and legalize sports gambling, you can't pull the old at warm up just so you know he's not playing.
Yeah, at noon you got to know who the starting goalie is.
By noon you got to know who's in the lineup. Like, unless something freakish happens between then, you can't pull that on gamblers.
No, it...
imagine like you got to think about the good soul of the gambler.
Yeah, like some guy in a casino with a dart, Mac Jameson, is looking to bet on it.
Mac Jameson wants to put his house on Houston.
Yeah,
but
is this Brian?
It's the worst disguised voice
ever.
It caught me off guard because I wasn't sure. Like, let's go.
Yeah,
I thought it was pretty good.
I thought it worked.
Once more,
is this Brian?
I was like, who is this guy?
Is this Brian? It's pretty good.
It's very good.
Is this Brian?
A little bit of a stumble off the top, yeah, as if like you weren't prepared.
Excited, like, oh, is this Brian? Yeah.
You're at the casino.
Yeah.
You're telling people to be quiet. You're
just
doing a big interview.
Just put my dart down.
Yeah, of course.
I love it.
I picture Mac Jameson in the casino doing interviews.
What kind of car does he drive?
Cadillac for sure.
Old caddy though.
Old
with the
caddy.
Tire on the back.
82 Eldorado.
Grizzled old tire on the back.
Yeah. That can't be used even if you had to use it.
Just the tire cover.
Yeah. The old school Sam Rothstein type Cadillac cruising around Vegas.
Mac Jameson.
Look him up if you're not familiar with the legend.
Is he
of
on
Mac.
Hockey DB? I guess he can't be.
No,
I just
not.
Retweeted it because they put that segment out.
On Twitter?
Yeah.
Okay.
Hunt put it out.
So it's up on Twitter at Overdrive1050. Us interviewing Mac Jameson in the 4 p.m. hour.
And
you're not
I was
familiar.
So excited. Like, I actually thought you hooked me up with a pre-tape.
It was a sewer job.
So gutless.
It was very gutless. We won't ever do that again. All right, we had our five-pack earlier this afternoon. We're going to revisit the five-pack.
Yeah.
It was the five things Kyle Dubas could do that would lead to just mass destruction in the city.
Just piss people.
People rioting. People going nuts. So we'll revisit some of them.
I've got number one.
Okay, save it. We'll get to it next.
Bring it home, brother. Mac Jameson. That's a total screw job.
I think we were wrong, though, on one thing. Mac Jameson doesn't live in Vegas. He would have moved to Reno. Like, he would have moved to somewhere else where he could gamble, but the price cost of living's a little cheaper.
Yeah, those are the true degenerates.
Yeah.
Like, they don't live in Vegas. They haven't been on the Strip in 15 years. Yeah. They hate New Vegas.
They've got their own little dive bar where they can pull slots and do their thing.
I will say this. You owe me a pre-tape.
I will.
Next week.
I won't sewer you. We'll hook it up. We'll start booking it in advance. I'll come in next week at some point or whenever.
It's got to be Monday. Mondays suck. All right. Actually, Mondays aren't that bad.
Monday, we're coming off a big weekend.
Yeah,
game one of the Cup final that night.
Game one, yeah.
What about every day after Monday, a pre-tape? Next week is pre-tape week.
It's a bit of a...
Maybe.
Bit aggressive.
Well,
you
get to display your abilities, right? It's all you.
Well, I don't want it to be all me.
I do, though.
Display your abilities.
He's a great interviewer.
He is.
So let him have it.
Still. Okay.
Well, we'll see. All right. I'll hook you up at least one, like,
well,
really
I don't
long
believe you
quality.
Now, because I'm going to be listening to the first 2 minutes of it and saying,
I'm telling
Mac
you, we're not going to do Mac Jameson again. Mac Jameson is
Or you're going to call
dead.
Some guy and say, hey, we're going to interview you, but after 3 minutes, hang up your phone and just say it was a bad connection.
No. Mac Jameson, RIP, he's gone.
Is this Brian?
I think it's... We've got to create that character.
Well, for the purposes of the show, the legend of Mac Jameson will continue, but I'm not going to interview him again. All right?
Well, no kidding, because as soon as I hear that dumb, hey, Brian!
Is this Brian?
I'll know but if it's Mac Jameson.
We can't punk anybody. I almost brought it up to Bobby Mac and say, you know, we were talking about Mac Jameson from Vegas.
I know.
See if like they
next time we have Craig on, we'll just say, Craig, you scouted Mac Jameson all those years out west.
We should do that.
Yeah, but what if he's like,
imagine he just
what
made
if he
up
gives
some
you the
bologna?
Jonathan Bernier and like, I know. You know, like, well, he was a good player.
He was great. I remember
great
him. Left-handed shot, right?
Yeah.
And we're like, Craig, don't
good
do
in
it.
The room.
No, yeah. We can't do it. Never do that.
I don't want to sewer Craig, but anyway, so we stumbled across a five-pack earlier. We always do the Friday five-pack brought to you by our friends at Cool Beer Brewery.
Yes.
And we did this in the 4 p.m. hour, and we just started listing off a bunch of different options here because we were talking about Dubas, and I was telling you guys about how I had a crazy dream last night that Dubas, one of the first moves he makes is he reacquires Phil Kessel.
Yes.
He trades for Phil. And we all agreed that can never happen, that will never happen. And we asked ourselves, what would lead to a crazier reaction? Reacquiring Phil or reacquiring Dion? And then you threw out the idea of rehiring John Ferguson Jr.
That is, by the way, you just came up with number one.
That would be number one in terms of vitriol from the fan base.
Yes. You rehired...
I got one.
JFJ as your special assistant.
Trading 34.
Trading Matthews would be... I think that would probably be number one. Unless it was for McDavid.
Right.
Unless it was for McDavid.
Okay, Fergler's two.
Trading the big cactus would probably be number one. We got a couple of other ones that have been coming in throughout the afternoon that would just kind of bother us more than anything else.
Right.
Hires Rene Rancourt out of retirement to start singing the anthems.
That would chap your ass.
I would be so rattled. Immediately puts an end to the alumni jacket routine around the alumni box.
Pesto chicken out of the alumni box.
Can you imagine?
Bans food in the alumni
Dubas
box.
Kyle Dubas gets chicken penne pesto banned from the alumni and gets you banned from the alumni box.
What if he does?
He could do that.
The Dallas Eakins is like just all it is celery and carrots in the alumni box. No coats, nothing, just celery and carrots.
Do you think Dubas would have the power to ban me for life from the alumni box?
Absolutely.
I don't think he would have that power.
It'd have to go up the chain.
Dude, Shannon, he has that power. He could say, hey, Jeff, that Brian Hayes guy never allowed back in the rink.
He doesn't own the rink, though. Yeah.
Dude, he could do that, though. I never want to see that guy in the alumni box.
I don't think so. I think it's above him. I think Shanahan maybe.
Don't the alumni work on a separate strain than the Toronto Maple Leafs?
I'll ask him this weekend. I'll just shoot him a note and say, Kyle, do you have the ability to make sure Brian Hayes never walks in that rink again?
You know what he's going to say? I got better things to do than worry about you three idiots on Friday afternoon.
Please. Send him a tweet. He's on Twitter.
I'm not tweeting him that.
Yeah, we don't want it to go public, because then he definitely won't answer. He's not going to answer something stupid like that.
I don't think he wants to answer that crap anyway.
No, he doesn't.
No,
don't waste his time with something like that.
But we have to have some credibility on this show.
Well, yeah, I know that. And obviously,
but I think he has the power to say, you're not allowed back in that rink.
I don't think
so. He can't ban me from the rink.
Depends on what you did.
Yeah. Well, if I did something awful.
There's all kinds of stories in sports where it's like, they said, this guy can't come here. Look at... New York Knicks, Oakley. You could be the Oakley of the Leafs.
Yeah, but that was the owner that had him kicked out.
Kenny Pagan.
Maybe he didn't like the way you were gooning all the penne pesto. And he says, no more Brian Hayes.
If you Ken Paganed it and you threw something on the
ice. Obviously. Like, if I throw something on the ice, I would expect to be banned. But just because he doesn't like the cut of my jib.
Doesn't like your face.
He hates my face. Everything I represent to Kyle Dubas, he hates. And he's going to ban me for life from the alumni?
Yeah, he could give you the Oakley somehow.
Do you think another player could get me banned?
Yeah.
Like, you're always the guy that gets me in, but...
Who's the older gentleman that you golfed with?
Bob Nevin.
Yeah, maybe Bobby Nevin comes in and says, you know what, that's enough.
See, Bob and I think we hit it off,
connected?
Though. He's a great guy.
Yes.
Great guy. I don't think Bob would do that to me.
No.
But, you know, like Tucker or something. I could see Darcy Tucker trying to get me banned for life.
Yeah, I think Darcy Tucker could get you... At least blacklisted. Like, you could probably show up for a Raptors game, but you couldn't show up for a Leafs game.
Imagine Tucker got me banned.
He could.
You think
any
he could?
Of them could? Any of them could fabricate a story and say, Brian Hayes tried to punch me in the head in the bathroom. I don't want to ever see him again. Yep, gone, out.
Well, make sure that doesn't happen. I like going there. It's a good spot.
Well, you're on thin ice.
I know, because of the Mac Jamison stuff.
Friday, let's be done.
Well, why don't I do my best bets?
Drag it out, because I'm leaving.
Best bets brought to you by Proline. I'm on the over in the Angels-Yankees game. Where are you going?
I've had it.
You just, why, because of Mac Jamison?
Yeah.
Well, did it finally strike a chord?
You owe me a couple minutes early for that garbage you pulled today. You're doing your best bets. It's over. The show's over.
Go ahead.
Are we on TV still?
Yeah, it doesn't matter.
Who cares?
Okay, see you later.
Okay, good luck. Have a good weekend, sir.
What an idiot. All right, so over the number, Yankees-Angels. Atlanta's paying 230. They're in Boston, but Atlanta's been the surprise team of Major League Baseball. And Houston's paying $2. They're in Cleveland, a very good team, but you get that kind of odds with a good team like that. That's my parlay for the evening. Throw down 20, you can score $147. You can find my picks on Twitter at TSN 1050 Radio and get way into the game with ProLine. It's the sports betting game that lets you turn small wagers into big excitement. ProLine, get way into the game.
I think we have to track Joey Bats as well.
With the Mets?
Yeah, I want to keep an eye on him.
Do you think he survives the weekend?
I think he does. But I want to keep an eye on him. Maybe he starts to heat up a little bit. You never know.
Yeah. I hope he does. I mean, I feel for the guy because he's holding on for dear life.
Yeah.
Like, I appreciate that he wants to play.
Right.
Like, I appreciate that this guy's got a drive, and I don't think it's just about getting paid. I think he's got
plenty
pride. He's got a lot of money. He's got pride. He's not getting paid anything anyway. He's getting the league minimum.
Right.
He could easily just be like, forget it, I'm out of here. He's obviously not embarrassed by this. He wants to prove he can still play.
Right.
So from that standpoint, I hope it works out for him, but this has to be it. Like, it's not like the Mets are going to cut him and then Colorado's going to call him up.
Yeah, it's...
You go through two teams in like a month, you're done.
And hasn't put up the success that you would expect. So I'm...
Based on his history, not even remotely close.
I'm pulling for him.
Yeah, so am I. All right, game six tonight. Cleveland looking to survive. I think LeBron's going off tonight.
Yeah, I believe so.
Like, he was not very good in game five.
I think this is going seven.
Yeah. I think both series are going seven. Like, with Chris Paul not playing and Houston, like, mailing it in, or it feels that way.
Maybe.
Unless it's fake news. Maybe he is going to play. But
they should leave Harden at home then, too, if they're going to Paul.
Like, just imagine that. Take game six. We concede. Come home here for game seven.
Just going to rest both of them.
Yeah. So.
Never know.
And then game one in Vegas. It's in Vegas, right? Game one on Monday night.
They've got home ice.
Isn't that amazing? Vegas has home ice.
Yeah, Vegas Monday, Monday, Wednesday.
I think the first four games are pretty close together, the first three, and then after that, days off in between. All right, man, thanks for sticking around.
Yeah, well, you know, it's kind of my job.
You're a pro. Good stuff. You think he's listening right now?
Probably.
Mac Jameson. In his car on the 401, just gunning it somewhere.
Exactly.
All right, man, we're out of here. We're back Monday at 4 p.m.
We'll chat then.
Is this Brian?